This is Express FM.
Supported by City of Portsmouth College.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has sort of a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
Pompey go 11 unbeaten and return to winning ways. Just.
Plenty of bodies forward. Chip to the far post. It's nodded back down. Still loose in the penalty area. Shot is into the net. And Burton have scored. It's John Brayford. And suddenly, the feel inside Fratton Park is all going to change. Because it's Portsmouth 2, Burton 1.
A late John Brayford goal proved to be just a consolation for Burton Albion, who were defeated under the Fratton floodlights after a double dingo from Pompey's man from down under, Cassini Yenge. So the Blues remain 5 points clear at the top of League One, with wins elsewhere for the rest of the chasing pack in midweek. John Massino's side are now on 80 points with just 8 matches remaining this season. We'll be hearing from the Portsmouth head coach tonight about the decision to switch to a 3-4-3 formation.
I thought it worked really well. One thing I'm really comfortable with is how we look in possession with that shape, and obviously without a left back it seemed like the natural thing to go to.
Defender Sean Raggett will also be on the show to give his assessment of Tuesday's win.
For probably 70-odd minutes in that game, I thought we were excellent and we thoroughly deserved the win. And at this stage of the season, that's the most important thing.
And of course, Pompey fans, we want to hear from you this evening. Would you like to see Colby Bishop or Cassini Yenge start against Bposch this weekend? What do you think the score will be at London Road? And would you take a point tomorrow, given the kind of form Peterborough are currently on? The best way to get in touch is through the Express FM app, available for free via the Apple app and Google Play Store. Otherwise, 81400 is our text number. Start those messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, use at expressfm over on X, or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Well, we cannot wait to hear from you here in Portsmouth Express FM. A very good evening and welcome to the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Hello there. Happy Friday. Welcome along to this latest instalment of the Football Hour here on Express FM. A Pompey show on twice a week, every week. Made for the fans, by the fans. On the way tonight, we'll get exclusive interviews, a review of the Blues' previous game and a look ahead to the next challenge for John Massino's side. We'll hear from the Portsmouth head coach too, as well as defender Sean Raggett before 7 o'clock. The thoughts of our two guests to come as well, but first a reminder of how the events of Tuesday's meeting with Burton Albion unfolded at Fratton Park. John Massino made 3 changes to the starting 11 from last weekend's goalless draw at Blackpool. Both Jack Sparks and Callum Lang out of the squad entirely with knocks, as well as Colby Bishop, who dropped to the bench. Owen Moxon, Christian Sadie and Cassini Yenge coming in to start, as the Blues head coach was forced into a formation change as well, lining up with a back three of Joe Rafferty, Sean Raggett and Conor Shocknessy, with Abu Kamara and Paddy Lane supporting out wide. Cassini Yenge up top with Christian Sadie acting as a bit of a makeshift striking partner, though rotating at times to serve as a second number 10 alongside Miles Peart-Harris. Will Norris, of course, in between the sticks. Andy Moon was joined in the commentary position by former Pompey defender Paul Robinson.
Every kick.
Left foot, great delivery.
Every goal.
Curling it past the goalkeeper.
Every game is right here.
Oh, I don't believe it!
Pompey Live.
What a moment for Pompey!
On Express FM.
And the referee is just doing his final checks, and then we can get this game underway at Fratton Park. Picked up by Burton. Nice turn from Helm. Good from him. Can he get the shot away? Harper might. Harper will hit the bar. Burton inches away from the lead. The ball goes safely into the Fratton end. Goal kick. 0-0. Goalkeeper Max Crocombe has stood a yard off his line to the left of centre of his goal as we look. It's free kick in front of the Milton end. Pack is lining it up. Marlon Pack to hit it. It's a shot and it slipped the bar. And gone over. 0-0. Half a yard outside the D, right of centre. Whistle goes. Moxon steps up and over the bar. And now there might be a Pompey counter-attack because Kamara's picked it up and it's 3-on-3. Lane's got one side. Kamara's through the middle. Kamara's looking for Lane. Can he find him? Lane into the penalty area. Right footed shot across and into the net. No! How's Yenge missed? The flag stays down. Yenge was into the net. but the ball wasn't. It's still 0-0. Yenge just outside the penalty area. Step over into the area. Good this from Yenge. Can he find the fullback? Sadie missed it. And it's going to come to Lane. Still a chance for Pompey. Tries of shoot. Pat doesn't need a second chance. Driving forward. Left-footed effort. Good save, Crocombe. And Burton will scramble it away. 0-0. Plenty of bodies in the middle if he can get the cross. Has he got the angle here, Yenge? Wants to get into the box. Peter Harris invited the challenge. And the penalty kick has been given to Portsmouth. And Oshalaja can't believe it. Yenge against Crocombe. Australia against New Zealand. Yenge steps forward, right-footed, and dinks it down the middle. Panenka from Yenge. Ball as you like in the high-pressure moment. He gives Portsmouth the lead on the stroke of half-time. Portsmouth 1, Burton 0. And that is the half-time whistle at Prattton Park. And it is met by a cheer, and then he's given it away to Pack into the penalty area. Pack across the face of goal. Peter Harris misses. So does Kamara. Two great chances to make it two. Kamara's into the penalty area. Chance for Pompey. Goal for Yenge. Pompey double their lead. He couldn't miss that one. Kamara, Moxon, and a tap in for Yenge. Pompey do have that cushion. Portsmouth 2, Burton 0. Plenty of bodies forward. Chip to the far post. It's nodded back down. Still loose in the penalty area. Shot is into the net. And Burton have scored. It's John Brayford. And suddenly, the feel inside Pratton Park is all going to change. Because it's Portsmouth 2, Burton 1. That's the final action of the game. You hear the roar at Pratton Park. Portsmouth have beaten Burton Albion by 2-1. They reach 80 points for the season with 8 games still to go.
All the unmissable action. Pompey Live on Express FM.
Well, there we go then. The highlights of that midweek victory for Pompey over Burton Albion at Fratton Park. Let's go through the other results and the league table following the midweek action across the division. There were 10 games on Tuesday evening and then one on Wednesday night as well. So we'll go through Tuesday first, of course. Pompey 2-1 victors over the Brewers at PO4. Elsewhere, it finished Carlisle United 2, Barnsley 3, Derby County 2-1 winners over Reading at Pride Park, Fleetwood Town and Bristol Rovers sharing a goalless draw, as did Leyton Orient and Port Vale. It finished Lincoln City 6, Cambridge United 0, Northampton Town 0, Blackpool 1, Shrewsbury 0, Exeter City 3, Wickham Wanderers 1, Wigan Athletic 0, Bolton Wanderers 5, Oxford United 0. And on Wednesday evening, Peter United welcomed Stevenage to London Road, where Pompey will be going to tomorrow. And it was Peterborough who were victorious by 3-1. So all four teams below Pompey in that automatic promotion hunt, Barnsley, Peterborough, Bolton and Derby, all securing victories. But it's fine, because so did Pompey. So the League One table, as things stand, looking pretty much as we were prior to kick-off on Tuesday night. Pompey remain 5 points clear at the summit of the division. They're now on 80 points after 38 matches. Derby County remain in second position, 3 wins in a row for them. They have 75 points on the board. Bolton are in third, having played the same amount of games. Their first win after two back-to-back draws, they're on 74 points. Peterborough United remain in fourth position. That's now 5 wins in a row for them, 6-0 competitions, on 71 points. Barnsley are on 70 points down in fifth. Then there's a bit of a gap between Barnsley in fifth and Stevenage in sixth. They have 61 points on the board. Blackpool just outside of the playoffs, level on points with Oxford in eighth, both with 60 points as things stand. Down at the bottom, it's still Carlisle United rooted to the foot of the table on 23 points. That's now 5 defeats in their last 6. They are 16 points adrift of safety. Port Vale, Fleetwood and Cheltenham Town join Carlisle in the relegation zone as things stand. Well, let's welcome on a couple of our guests this evening then, and I'm sure you don't just want to hear from me tonight. Sam Macy is here in the studio this evening to provide his insights. Sam, a very good evening and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Nice to be back in the studio for the first time in a while as well.
It has been a while, hasn't it? Yeah, I've had you over the powers of the internet for quite some time. Yeah. It's great to actually see you in the flesh. Great win on Tuesday night against Burton, Sam. Now, any win at this stage, of course, is important. But on a night with results elsewhere, all producing wins for those just below Pompey, just felt that extra bit bigger.
Yeah, I think it was before the game. It looked like a bit of a banana skin. They're sort of scrapping for their lives down the bottom and recently got a new manager as well. I think the first half we played some really good stuff. I think that Yengi chance sort of just before the penalty was a bit of a shocker from him. You normally expect him to put those in, and you wondered then if it was going to be one of those nights, but thankfully as soon as the penalty went in, we didn't really look back. I think we made our lives difficult for ourselves, but it wouldn't be Pompey without doing things the hard way. Take 3 points. Any 3 points is a bonus at this stage, and I say we've got 8 more cup finals to go, and hopefully we can just get over that line. I think 90 points is sort of the goal which you want, and to sort of 8 games to get 10 points to get to that goal is ideal. So yeah, fingers crossed. Maybe they should have had a penalty at the end, but I'm sure we'll get onto that later on. But yeah, it was a good performance, and another 3 points on the board.
And for performance at this stage as well, Sam, it's not necessarily something we're totally looking for at the end of the day. We're looking for the points, and that's ultimately the most important thing. But what did you actually make of Pompey's performance against Burton, because they of course made it very difficult for themselves in the latter stages?
Yeah, I think we didn't really get out of second gear, to be honest with you. I think Marlon Pack was excellent. I think Owen Moxon, that's possibly his best game in a Pompey shirt. And I think we controlled the game really well. But as I say, we looked a bit nervy for sort of the last sort of 5-10 minutes. But yeah, I think it's what you sort of want to do. And I think you kind of rotated as well. Obviously, Sadie coming in from the start, Yengi coming in from the start. And then obviously, like switching shape to a 3. It was kind of enforced, but we look like we played it all season, to be honest with you. As we say, it is only Burton, but at the same time, it was a professional job, sort of the old cliche goes. But we'll take 3 points. We could have played horrendously, and I would have taken it. But yeah, it was a good, solid performance. And I say we didn't really get out of second gear, because they're possibly one of the worst teams we've come to Fratton Park this season.
Yeah. We'll be hoping to hear from Hugh Bunce as well on the show this evening, myself and Sam. As things stand, 3 changes on Tuesday night for John Massino's side, Sam. Jack Sparks, Callum Lang, not in the squad at all. Colby Bishop dropping to the bench. Let's start off with Colby Bishop then, before we come on to Lang and Sparks and the injury concerns there. Replaced by Cassini Yengi, he got a brace on Tuesday night, and that really opens up the whole Yengi versus Bishop debate, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think it's sort of just added fuel to the fire, him getting those 2 goals. This sort of, if Massino didn't have a selection headache already, he does now. I think hopefully we sort of, whoever plays up front, will get goals from now to the end of the season. I think Bishop sort of had something a little bit different, and you can sort of see for the first 10-15 minutes the rest of the team sort of adjust having Yengi up front, because I think he likes the ball a lot more to his feet, whereas Bishop's more aerial. And I think it was a good performance from Yengi, but I think you know what's going to happen. Massino is going to play Bishop regardless, because he is probably that first choice striker. I think it seems to be like the old tradition now is Cassini Yengi plays on a Tuesday night under the lights at Fratton Park, and he scored the last couple of times. So it just adds a good selection headache for Massino to have, and regardless of who plays, you know they're going to get goals.
Yeah. And we're going to hear from John Massino himself now, actually. Let's hear from the gaffer. He was asked shortly after the final whistle on Tuesday night for his verdict by Andy Moon.
I'm delighted with the result, delighted with the performance for 75 minutes. I thought things got probably slightly easier for us at 2-0 up, and we just took a foot off the gas, and against, you know, a decent Burton side who are a real threat from set pieces especially, we always, you know, leave yourself open if you don't put the game to bed. So I thought we should have put the game to bed with the third and the fourth goal a lot earlier with the way that we played, and it just made for a bit of a tense finish. I think, you know, not to take away from the performance as a whole, because I thought we were really, really good up until we conceded the goal.
Cassini Yengi, the guts for that penalty, he's just missed one he should score, and he steps up and does what he does.
Yeah, I mean, it's not how I used to take penalties, but you know, as long as it goes in the back of the net, then that's the most important thing.
So I think it reached the back of the net.
Yeah, so he's a player playing on high confidence at the moment, so fair play to him.
And you mentioned, I guess, you go in at half-time just feeling that much better with that 1-0 lead.
Yeah, I mean, we deserved, I think, the lead at half-time. We missed a couple of open goals, one open goal. We missed some chances. We had some really good opportunities, got ourselves in some great positions. I thought we had a very, very solid penalty shout on Abbey before that as well. And, you know, it was all about making sure that we built on that in the second half and got the second, and I was hoping for a third and a fourth goal to really put the game to bed. I think overall we thoroughly deserved to go in the goal up at half-time, deserved to extend the lead. Just slightly disappointed with the way we saw the game out.
How tense was that final 10 minutes?
It was far too tense for my liking. We made sort of errors of judgment, I'd say. Probably what sums it up is that free kick in the corner in the last sort of 5 or 6 minutes where, bizarrely, we don't play it to Christian, who can hold plenty of players off and they break and counter. And I said to the lads in there, you do leave yourself open to the potential of conceding another goal from a long throw, conceding a goal from a corner when the ball drops down, takes deflection, whatever it does. And honestly, at 2-1, I'm scratching my head as to how the game was so close, but it was. Fair play to Burton, because they changed things, and yeah, we just need to be a bit more professional.
Should they have had a penalty at 2-1?
The ref was pretty, I suppose he was pretty decisive in terms of what he decided to do. I was worried at the time. But to be honest, I thought it was a stonewall penalty on Abu in the first half. Miles was clean through. John Brayford pulled him back and then clipped him as well in the second half on a yellow. So I think it definitely evened itself out, even if it was.
No Callum Lang or Jack Sparks. What's the situation with them?
Yeah, so we were close with Jack and decided, just because of the fact that he had stitches and the potential of opening them up again in a physical game, it wasn't really the right one for him. He wasn't 100%, and what we need is players coming into these games at 100%. There's no doubt about that in my mind. So, Jack was, we decided late to not play him, and Callum was always going to be a bit of a doubt, but yeah, we are hopeful for Callum at the weekend, and I'm pretty sure that Jack will be okay.
3-4-3, I don't think we've seen that from the start yet. How do you feel that the formation worked?
We did, we saw it against Fleetwood, Andy.
Oh yeah, okay. Second time from the start.
I thought it worked really well. One thing I'm really comfortable with is how we look in possession with that shape, and obviously without a left back it seemed like the natural thing to go to, and I thought we dominated the ball, obviously, but Burton didn't press particularly high, so that was something that was probably relatively easy to do. But I thought we found our tens really well, particularly Christian. I thought Christian caused all sorts of problems. He did everything tonight apart from get his goal. And then when Mars got into the right positions and grew into the game, I thought he was really effective as well. So I was really happy with the shape. I think it's a difficult one because we press as a four and we've always done that, so sometimes switching it late can cause a couple of issues, but overall to be able to do it with another couple of injuries at the weekend, we're really pleased.
John Bassino there speaking with Andy Moon after the full time whistle at Fratton Park on Tuesday night. We'll hear from the Blues head coach again later in the show when we start to look forward to this weekend's fixture away at Peterborough. Just heard word that Hugh won't be joining us this evening. We do send him our best regards, not feeling too well this evening. So, Hugh, if you're listening, you're probably not, but yeah, hope you're feeling better soon, mate. It will just be me and Sam. Sam, we'll be all right, won't we? We've got plenty to talk about.
We'll be fine.
40-odd minutes to fill between now and 7 o'clock. We're going to continue to review Tuesday's action at Fratton Park, and we'll also later on come on to preview what is a massive game at London Road tomorrow afternoon. We'll also get more from Sam and hear from Sean Raggett after the break. He's been highlighting Pompey's change of shape in midweek and how the team have had to adapt to changes throughout the course of the season.
You saw out there everyone was comfortable playing in that shape. We've played it a few times this season, probably some more times where a lot of people haven't really realised where we changed to it in game. But, especially in possession, I think we sort of get into that sort of shape anyway. And, I thought it was a very attacking lineup tonight and a good performance.
Stick with us here on Express FM for more reaction to Tuesday's big win at Fratton, plus a look ahead to that trip to Peterborough tomorrow. That's all to come, so don't you go absolutely anywhere.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The new Stagecoach Flexi 5. A bus ticket that works when you do. For those who travel often, but not every day. These new flexible bus tickets are available as Flexi 5. Bundles of 5-day riders for the price of 4. And Flexi 10. Bundles of 10-day riders for the price of 7. Flexi tickets are now available to download via the Stagecoach Bus app. Download Flexi 5 or Flexi 10 from Apple App Store or Google Play today. For more information, visit stagecoachbus.com.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Yes, good evening. Welcome along to part two of this Friday night edition of the Football Hour. We join myself, Jake Smith, alongside Sam Macy for full reaction to the Blues' midweek victory over the Brewers. And later on, we'll be providing a look ahead to tomorrow's trip to Peterborough too. But for now, let's carry on with the analysis from Tuesday night. And Sam, let's start off with that first goal for Pompey, then taking the lead on the 45th plus third minute of added time in that first half. Cassini Yenge from the penalty spot. I don't quite know how to describe that penalty. Cool, calm, collected from 12 yards out. Just dinked it in between the goalkeeper and the back of his net. Penenka is what they call it. And the audacity to do that is insane.
Yeah, I think I've never seen anyone sort of do anything like that at Fratton Park before. I think God only knows what would have been said if the keeper had sort of read it and he'd missed it. But yeah, you've got to be a certain type of player and have a certain amount of confidence in yourself to sort of try that and do that. But I think that just sums Cassini Yenge up. If you look at some of the things he's done this season, you sort of look at the celebration, sort of that Sky interview after the Bolton game, him with all the stuff with Ricardo Santos, I think it just sort of oozes confidence and self-belief. And he said to be patient and bide his time this season with playing behind Colby Bishop. And I think every time he has come onto the pitch, he's been excellent. And I think if you look at his penalty record, he sort of can do everything with them. He's gone low and hard. He's gone top bins. He's gone Panenka. Sort of anything which you want from a striker from 12 yards, he does. And I think he deserved that. He played really well in the first half. And I can't be the only one who that Panenka went in really, really slow motion, just waiting for the net to sort of rip away. I was like, I said to my dad, I was like, I didn't even know the keeper had dived. I was just like, where the hell is the ball going? But yeah, no, he played really well, and it was a really, really cool finish. And as I say, he just oozes self-belief and sort of sums the man up.
Does it surprise you a little bit though, Sam, because it wasn't too long before that Cassini-Yenge missed probably the miss of a season. Yep. From 2 or 3 yards out in front of that Milton end. It looked harder to miss actually, but it was to score, and a lot of players might, you know, let that get to them, that the confidence will be shot a little bit, particularly at, you know, a ground like Fratton Park with the atmosphere and really with everything on the line. But Cassini-Yenge to come back from that, not only have the, you know, the mindset to, you know, want to take the penalty, then take it, to score it and do it in such an audacious fashion, that says a lot about his character.
Yeah, 100%. I think watching that that miss back is sort of, he's gone on it with his right foot and he's almost scuffed it a little bit wide. I think it's almost as if he'd gone for the Panenka on that one as well, it would have gone in, because he had so much of the goal to aim for. But yeah, so that's it. I think that's what you can really do as a striker, sort of not let the last chance sort of play in your mind, and you've just got to take the next one when it comes. And I think that's something which a lot of strikers, which you see come to Fratton Park, they miss the first one, yeah, the crowd getting their back a little bit and they don't know how to deal with the pressure. If you look at the last probably 10 years, we haven't had a striker since Colby and Cassini came in. We haven't had a striker who's been able to deal with that pressure and get the goals to fire us out of this division. And then even in League Two, we didn't really have that striker. The amount of players who've come in with this amazing history and the like previous clubs' goals to game records, they crumble when it comes to Fratton Park. But not only have we got one striker who can sort of shake off the misses, but we've got two, because then Colby Bishop does it as well. And it's sort of nice to see that Rich Hughes and the scouting team have done their research on Yenge, and they know what sort of player he is. And as I say, he didn't let that chance sort of deter him, and the confidence just oozes from him. And as you say, he could have quite easily just put his foot through it, like hit and hope and things, but he's got a plan, he's not changed from the plan, and as we say, it's probably going to be the most memorable penalty we see at Fratton Park for the next few years.
Linda has got in touch on the email saying, we backed up a draw at Blackpool with a win against Burton. It was a nail-biting end, but a very good 3 points. Marlon Pack gave exceptional midfield performance. It is a shame the Barnsley match has been postponed, but it may give the injured players time to come back. Let's hope we can get something tomorrow at a draw. Would be good at the Derby versus Bolton game as well. Play at Pompey Linda on the emails. And yeah, just referencing what Linda has mentioned within that message there, Pompey's home fixture against Barnsley, which was scheduled for next Saturday at Fratton Park, has been postponed due to international call-ups within the Pompey squad. That game has been rearranged to Tuesday the 16th of April. Paddy Lane has been called up to the Northern Ireland squad, and there is also another call-up for Pompey, which for some reason has gone out of my head. Who is that?
Cassini-Yenge,
of course.
Yes.
Australia. I was trying to think then. I was thinking Joe Morrell's injured, Terry Devlin's injured. Yeah, Cassini-Yenge is the second player. So Yenge and Paddy Lane will both be on international duty. Of course, you do need 3 players to be called up to be able to exercise the right to call off a game due to international call-ups. The statement from Pompey does read that it's Portsmouth who have exercised that right to call the game off. And we do understand that the third call-up is Miles Pitt-Harris. But what we don't know is who he's actually going to be playing for. Andy Moon, our colleague at BBC Radio, a silent commentator here on Pompey Live, tweeted earlier this morning saying Miles Pitt-Harris is the third Pompey player who received an international call-up. However, since that tweet, we've not found out who he's actually representing. England have announced their senior squad, as well as their under-21s, under-20s, under-19s, under-18s. Miles Pitt-Harris not involved in any of those. So we will wait and see to see who Miles Pitt-Harris will be representing during this international break. If that news has broke, since we've been speaking about it on social media, because I'm not currently on it at the moment, do let us know. 81400 on the text, start your messages with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. You can visit facebook.com/PompeyLive, or you can use the ExpressFM app, available now from the Apple app and Google Play stores. Let us know your score predictions as well for tomorrow's game against Peterborough United. Right, let's move on to the remainder of the goals from Tuesday night then, Sam. The second goal, 63 minutes into the game. Cassini Yenge, game the second of the night for him. Smashes the ball home from 3 yards out after what was a really nice bit of play down the right-hand side. Abu Kamara, he was fed nicely by Owen Mox in midfield. And Kamara with the assist for Cassini Yenge on a plate in front of the Fratton end. And we said it probably looked harder for Yenge to miss that first opportunity against the Milton end. And I actually said off air to James Wilson on Pompey Live on Tuesday night that he won't get an easier opportunity than that all season. And he actually did. And he converted it.
Yeah, I say it is sort of the same sort of position as the one in the first half, just literally slap bang in the middle of the penalty area in the middle of the 6 yard box. And yeah, he tucked it away, no mistake this time. I think that goal was sort of sums us up a little bit this season. I think it's hard working play down the right hand side. I think if you look at the goal prior to sort of when Owen Moxon picked the ball up the second time, he actually won the ball back and kept it in with a really nice bit of play, sort of stopping it going out for a goal kick. And then a couple of phases later, the ball gets played down the right to Abu Kamara, and I think he had a really good game as well. Another one to add sort of the CV, putting the ball on a plate, Cassini Yenge, and say he's never going to miss from there, especially sort of after the one in the first half. This time he sort of let it come across his body, and he sort of just stroked it into the roof of the net. Yeah, really good goal, and I think he scores that goal more often than not. He gambles a hell of a lot, Cassini Yenge. Sort of if you put the ball in that area, 9 times out of 10 he's going to be there, and if you put it along the ground, then he's always going to finish it. Yeah, really good team goal, and I'd say we probably could have had a few more on Tuesday, but the two we did score, both really well taken by Cassini Yenge.
81 minutes into the game, Burton made it 2-1. It turned out to be just a consolation in the end, Sam. John Brayford sliding the ball into the back of the net after Pompey failed to clear their lines from a corner. Yeah, it's a sloppy one to give away. Very frustrating. Definitely not to keep that clean sheet and really set up a nervy end into the game. But do you think that goal, was it a product of Pompey's play and seeing out the game, or do you think it came from nowhere and it was just one of those, but you know, sloppy to give away, but nothing that concerns you too much?
No, I think it's one of them. I think I'd rather they defended poorly from a corner or a long throw on that one when you're 2-0 up with 10 minutes to go against Burton, as opposed to 75 minutes in against Peterborough when it's 0-0 tomorrow. So it's just one of those. I think it happens. I think Burton were incredibly direct. I think every chance they got to put the ball in the box, whether that was corners, long throws, free kicks, they did it. And just sort of when you've got Conor Shaughnessy and Sean Raggett, 9 times out of 10 they're going to head the ball away back where it's come from. I think Will Norris, he did well to sort of get something on it because it came at him incredibly quickly, sort of inside the box, clear shot, goal. He got close to sort of saving it, but as you say, it's just one of those which happens. It made it a bit nervous, but thankfully we got over the line in the end. And as we say, well, every time, it seems like every time we're on, it wouldn't be Pompey if we made it easy for ourselves.
No. Colby Bishop did eventually come on for Pompey with 7 minutes to play, him and Gavin White replacing Peter Harrison, Cassini Yenge to see the match out. And what really impressed me, Sam, is that Adam Hercheg, the man in the middle of a referee on Tuesday night, in that final 7 minutes plus added time, he gave Pompey 2-3 kicks for pullbacks on Colby Bishop. And that is 2 more than I've seen in any other game this season. Colby Bishop, and to be fair, most strikers, they don't get them fouls awarded to them. But, I mean, I'm not knocking it. But for referee on Tuesday night, I actually acknowledged that and gave those free kicks. And it is a frustration to see, you know, Colby Bishop, many other strikers Pompey have had down the years. You've got that tool presence up top and they're getting pulled about, they're getting their shirts ripped off them, and they never get those decisions. So was it refreshing for you on Tuesday night to see that actually we had a referee that actually backed them up?
Oh, 100%. I think if you watch Colby Bishop, every single time a ball goes in the air, he sort of backs into that defender, sort of like almost lets them get over the top of him and goes down. And he sort of tries to win that free kick every time the ball's played up to him. And I think you can sort of tell from minute one if the referee's going to give it, whether he's not going to give it. And thankfully, the two which happened to Colby on Tuesday, he did manage to get. We've had some awful refs this season. I said I don't want to sound like Steve Evans or bash the officials too much, but we have had some awful refs this season. I think the referee actually had a very good game on Tuesday night. Probably one of the better refs we've seen this season at Fran Park. But
are we saying that because he didn't give that Burton penalty?
No comment. I don't know what you mean. To be fair, it was right in front of me, and I think it probably was a penalty. I've seen replays of it, but it's so quick. You're never going to be able to tell. And those decisions go for you, and sometimes go for you, sometimes don't. But yeah, I think the ref had a good game, and to say it was sort of nice to sort of see Colby come on, throw his body weight around and actually get the decisions for once. Because if you look at some of the games this year, he's come off battered and bruised and has got nothing to show for it, no free kicks and anything like that. And it sort of just took the sting out of the game completely. And it was a very, very good substitution from Moose to sort of put Colby on, have that presence and fresh legs up front so he can press the defenders before they put long balls into the box, as you say, which they tried to do at every opportunity.
Let's talk about Marlon Pack, his presence in midfield on Tuesday night and throughout the entirety of the campaign, of course. Leading by example this season, he's Pompey's captain, and I'm sure he's, you know, chomping up a bit to try and get Pompey promoted as a Portsmouth homegrown boy himself to get his team out of this league, and captain aside would be phenomenal. And you could see on Tuesday night the kind of passion, the energy that he brings. Was Tuesday night one of his best performances in a Pompey shirt this season?
100%. He's an absolute Rolls Royce. I think you can put any central midfielder in our squad alongside Marlon Pack and he makes them better. I think it's just sort of little things like when we have when we're in possession of slotting as an extra centre half and play the ball and spray it out to the wingers or fullbacks. Usually we obviously doing that on Tuesday, but yeah, he just oozes class. I think he was absolutely everywhere. And obviously they're a sort of a physical side that they're never going to give you an inch, and I think Marlon Pack was the best player on the pitch. He's the best sort of leader and captain we've had since Michael Doyle, and that's sort of the highest praise I can give him. If anything, he's probably more of a leader than Michael Doyle, because it sort of means more, because he's obviously a Pompey boy. That possibly is his best performance in a Pompey shirt on Tuesday. I've seen a lot of praise on social media for him, and rightly so. And I think if you're Owen Moxon, sort of coming from, no disrespect to Carlisle, but a smaller League One club, and then you get put alongside someone like Marlon Pack, it just makes your life a hell of a lot easier. And you can sort of see how much freedom Owen Moxon's had. And as I say, he's probably played with four or five different central midfield parts of the season, and he's always been that linchpin, and he's sort of guided them through the games. I think Mars Pat Harris got a little bit of stick for the way he played in central midfield, sort of a little bit deeper alongside him a couple of weeks ago. And I say, he didn't play amazingly per Harris, but at the same time, if you've got someone like Marlon Pack alongside you're always going to be able to walk someone through the game. And yeah, hopefully in a month or two's time, we'll see him lifting the League Two trophy on Salford Common.
League Two?
League One, sorry. I'm on Michael Doyle still.
Going back to him. Yeah, that's true. What a day that was. What a day that was.
I know.
Well, hopefully we'll get the League One trophy at Fratton Park rather 100%. Than... 100%. Because I think on that occasion, wasn't it, Plymouth and Doncaster looked probably the most likely to win it.
Yeah.
Plymouth had Grimsby away, Doncaster had Hartlepool right up the other end of the country, Pompey had Cheltenham at home, and yeah, we had to hope that we won and both Plymouth and Doncaster lost. And yeah, I don't blame EFL for not having the trophy ready at Fratton Park, I guess, but hopefully as things stand we're looking in good position to have that happen.
Wigan at home, that's the day I hope.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Right, let's get some more reaction from within the Pompey camp to that midweek win over Burton. Sean Raggett spoke after the full-time whistle to Max Swatton.
Well, Rags, three important points. What's your take on the game?
Yeah, I think it probably could have been a little bit more comfortable than it was towards the end there. We put some of our other chances away, but I think for probably 70-odd minutes in that game, I thought we were excellent and thoroughly deserved the win. And at this stage of the season, that's the most important thing.
What are the main takeaways from that performance for you personally?
I think just putting away more of our chances. I think we controlled the game for pretty much all of it, but if you let sides back into it, you know, all it takes is another set piece or something like that, and you know, obviously we've got to defend that set piece that we conceded from better, so we'll look at that tomorrow and see what we could have done. But yeah, I think if the two big things for me are probably put the chances away and also defend that set piece a lot better.
There was obviously a switch in shape tonight. How do you think you dealt with that?
I think, you know, it was, you saw out there everyone was comfortable playing in that shape. We've played it a few times this season, probably some more times where a lot of people haven't really realised where we changed to in game. But, you know, especially in possession, I think we sort of get into that sort of shape anyway. And, you know, I thought it was a very attacking lineup tonight and a good performance.
That penalty on the stroke of half-time must have eased the nerves slightly going into the break. What did the gaffer say to you to spark such a sort of relentless start to the second half?
You know, I think he said just keep doing what we're doing, control the game, move the ball with tempo, which I think we did for large parts of that game, and it caused them a lot of problems. So I think we just came out there and tried to do that.
For you as players, how important is it that, you know, you're able to adapt to these personnel switches and these switches of shape as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think you've seen all throughout the season, the team has changed numerous times due to, you know, players just coming in or injuries we've had. And, you know, I've experienced that myself a couple of times this season. But, you know, there's a lot of quality at this football club, and whoever plays, there's definitely a lot of quality out on that pitch. And it's been a squad effort for sure this season.
Just finally, a word for the fans. What did you make of their support tonight?
Yeah, no, top quality as always. You know, really heard them. I can't remember what happened at near the end of that game, but there was a stop in play and the place sort of erupted. And it's like, yeah, and I'm used to that now. You know, this is my fifth season. I've heard that regularly throughout the 5 years. But yeah, top quality as always.
Sean Raggett speaking to the club's media team after the midweek win over Burton Albion at Fratton Park. An email from Dave. Good evening to you, Dave. Thank you for getting in touch. Says 80 points. Looks good, doesn't it? I think points could now get harder to come by, but everything crossed. I hope we can get enough. I think we look more threatening with Yenge in the side. I do have every respect for Colby Bishop, and where would we be without his goals? But not having Yenge in the side always feels like such a waste. Two moments stuck out for me. Yenge step over and burst into the box before pulling it back, and eventually Marlon Pack having a shot saved. Then Owen Moxon doing really well to keep the ball alive before it's worked to Abu Kamara to cross in for Yenge's second goal. Similar movement from Yenge to his goal against Bolton. 8 matches to go. This could go right to the wire with Peterborough hosting Bolton on the final day, while Pompey are at an informal Lincoln City. Derby will be at home to Carlisle. Enough said. No results predictions from me for the rest of the season. My nerves are jangling, says Dave. All I will say is I quite like the idea of going to play a team tomorrow, but have now won 5 on the spin. Also, head of recruitment appointment looks like another quality addition to the club. Yeah, that is absolutely right. We're going to talk about the potential appointment of the Manchester City man on Monday's show. We're going to have a bit more time to talk about it when that comes around. Thank you very much, Dave, for getting in touch this evening. Right, we're going to come back to Sam shortly, but for now, we wrap up our review of Tuesday's win over Burton and move on to Pompey's next challenge. And quite some challenge it's set to be. Peterborough United are up next for John Massino's side, who are unbeaten in 11 games now. Though Peterborough themselves are on a bit of form too, having won each of their last 5 league games and 6 in all competitions. But don't just take my word for it. Kirsty Roxanne has more on The Posh.
A brace from Cassini Yenge made sure the Blues got back to winning ways on Tuesday night with a crucial 3 points against Burton Albion. Next up is a trip to a side in red-hot form, Peterborough United.
This week's opposition.
John Massino's side have now reached 80 points for the season, the first time Portsmouth have reached this tally since the 2018-19 campaign. Back on the road again this weekend, the Blues head up to the Western Home Stadium to take on playoff occupiers Peterborough United. Let's dive into the Posh now.
Manager.
Scottish manager and former player Darren Ferguson is the man in the dugout. The 52-year-old started his managerial career as a player-manager for then League Two outfit Peterborough in January 2007. And 2 successive promotions saw him guide the club's championship for the first time in 17 seasons. He moved on to Preston North End before returning to Peterborough, where he took the club to the League One playoff final and won promotion back to the championship. After 2 seasons, Ferguson's side were relegated back to League One again. Ferguson was appointed as manager of Doncaster Rovers, where he would spend 3 years before returning for a 3rd spell in charge of the Posh, who Ferguson once again led back to the championship for the 3rd time. In January 2023, following the dismissal of Grant McCann, Ferguson returned for the 4th stint as manager of Peterborough, and come the end of the season, the side were defeated on penalties by Sheffield Wednesday in a dramatic playoff semi-final encounter with the Owls. Ferguson signed a new 3-year contract with the club and is bidding to achieve promotion to the second tier for an impressive 4th time with the same club.
One to watch.
A one to watch out for on this occasion is Kwame Poku. Poku made his first senior appearance for Worthing, and after a successful trial in May 2019, he then signed for Colchester United. He made his senior debut for the club in a 3-2 EFL Trophy win over Gillingham and scored his first professional goal in September 2019 during a 2-1 victory against Leyton Orient. Poku went on to sign a 4-year contract at Peterborough United in August 2021 and scored his first goal for the Posh over a year later in a 3-2 win over MK Dons. The right winger was also called up to the Ghanaian national team for the first time for their 2021 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying campaign, making his debut in the 79th minute as a substitute. Scoring 11 goals and making 8 assists so far this campaign, including a strike in the midweek win over Stevenage, Poku wears the number 11 shirt.
Top scorer.
The current top goalscorer for the Posh is left-winger Ephron Mason-Clark. Mason-Clark scored his first senior career at Barnet after working his way up through the youth side. He spent over 6 years with the Bees, making 163 appearances and scoring 19 goals. In August 2022, Mason Clark signed for Peterborough United on a three-year contract, despite interest from Danny Cowley's Portsmouth. In his first season at the club, he scored 5 goals across all competitions. In the recent January transfer window, Mason Clark signed for Coventry City on a 4-year deal, however immediately returned back to Peterborough on loan until the end of the season. The Poshs' number 10 is the 8th top goal scorer in the league, having bagged 13 league goals so far.
Current form.
Darren Ferguson's side currently sit in 4th position, 9 points behind Pompey at the top, having played one game fewer. Wednesday night's 3-1 victory over Stevenage at Western Home Stadium saw the Posh leapfrog Barnsley and ensure they are now just 4 points behind second place Derby County with a game in hand. Peterborough are in quite some form at the moment and head into this weekend's meeting with the Blues off the back of 5 consecutive league victories. 6 wins if you include the 3-0 scoreline recorded at Blackpool in the EFL Trophy semi-final last month too. So far this campaign, the Posh have accumulated 37 points from 18 games on home soil, as well as 34 points on the road too. The last time these two teams met was at Fratton Park back at the beginning of September. On that day, the Blues came out on top with a 3-1 league victory, despite even going down to 10 men for the final few minutes of the game, following the dismissal of Joe Morrell. Can Pompey complete the double over the Posh and make it 12 games without defeat? All of the admissible action on Pompey Live.
OK, so we've heard Kirsty's deep dive into Peterborough United, but what does the Pompey boss think of tomorrow's opponents? We'll get his thoughts here on the show in part three.
I think they have an excellent side. They have been really consistent throughout the season in terms of the way they've played, in terms of playing really good football, and probably one of the best passing sides in the league. We've seen sort of Darren Ferguson's sides over the years being highly successful and playing really good football, so I expect more of the same.
Hear that interview with John Massino and the final thoughts of Sam Macy too. That's all to come when the Football Hour returns after this.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The world is your oyster. With many bus routes offering services late into the evening from 7 p.m. every day, you can take advantage of a night rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your night rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South. So whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, on a late shift, or just enjoying late night bus rides, visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans. The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Welcome along for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. Thank you for joining us here on this Friday evening. It's great to have you with us. But if you have missed any of the show tonight, fear not, you can listen back to this and any other previous edition through the Express FM app, Apple and Google Podcasts, or even Spotify too. If you are tuning in live, thank you for listening, but why just listen? Get involved with the conversation, have your say tonight as well. Easy to reach us, all the best ways to do so. You can download the ExpressFM app, available now from the Apple App and Google Play stores. Otherwise, text your name and message, starting with the word Express to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Include at ExpressFM on X, or head to facebook.com/PompeyLive. We want to hear your score predictions for tomorrow's clash with Peterborough, as well as who you think should start up front for the Blues. We heard before the break, Sam, about Peterborough United. We know they're a very tough side. 6 wins on the bounce. They're through to the EFL Trophy final. 5 wins consecutive in the league. They're managed by Darren Ferguson. He's got them out of his division 3 times before. He'll be hoping to get them out of his league for a 4th time. And going to London Road will be no easy feat for Pompey this weekend.
No, not at all. I think they've got the youngest squad, or certainly one of the youngest squads in the whole of League One. I think if you look at the players they've used a lot more this year, I think if you look at sort of Ronnie Edwards, you look at Kwame Poku, Ephraim Mason Clark, they've sort of been their key men this year. They've not really played Johnson Clark Harris that much. I think a lot of Pompey fans would look at that side and sort of instantly think of JCH, but he's not really played a great deal this season. I think there was talk of him going in the summer, then in January, and they've made do without him. They're really exciting, I think, always on the front foot, and they score a hell of a lot of goals, especially at home. If you look at the game which they played against Stevenage on Sky in the week, I think they sort of got out of the traps a little bit slow, but as soon as that first goal went in, they sort of just came into their own, and they just look like scoring every time they go forward. And I think this is going to be a real tough test, especially if we play that three again. I don't know what the fitness of Jack Sparks is now, but if we do stick with a three, then it's going to be a really, really tough test for Connor Shocknessy, Sean Raggett and Joe Rafferty, because they have a very, very good front three. And I worry about us slightly. I think Ricky J. Jules is another really good player. So, yeah, we'll see. I think if you ask me now, I'd take a point. But at the same time, how many times have we said this season that we take a point and Pompey have then turned up against one of those sort of those teams in and around the playoffs? So, yeah, we'll see. But they're a very, very good side, very, very young. And hopefully when the bright lights come on, experience pays through and we get the 3 points.
Job done. At this stage of the season, it's just about results. Really comfortable on Tuesday night, right up until their goal. Then it was just game management. The throw was all they had. On to Saturday now, says Barry and Joe from the 1898. Thank you to Barry and Joe for getting in touch. And Mike in Haven saying, what a chance this will be for Will Norris to shut up his Peterborough critics. Hope he can prove what a great keeper he can be with an impenetrable display. And that is a very good point, Sam, because Will Norris will have quite some motivation tomorrow to ensure that he gets that clean sheet.
Worst keeper in the world, isn't he?
Apparently.
When signed, yeah. No, that'll be it. I think the clip which all the Peterborough fans showed us was Alfie May lowered him from the halfway line. I think that was the one which they did. But no, he's been probably one of our most consistent players this season, Will Norris. And I think him getting a clean sheet at London Road would be the icing on the cake. He's got the players to do it, especially if we play with a three. Any balls over the top, Sean Raggett's going to knock back where they've come from. Yeah, and hopefully just commands his back three and we get the job done, because, yeah, that there's nothing better, especially when you leave a team and they say how rubbish you are. You go to a side and then you go and win the league and shut the fans up.
hopefully
win the league. But yeah, we'll see. It should be a good game. And I say it's just another narrative. If there wasn't enough already, it's going to be not even just the Pompey game tomorrow. I think it's going to be one hell of a day of League One football.
Bolton, of course, taking on Derby County tomorrow afternoon. It's Derby at home against Bolton Wanderers tomorrow afternoon. Looking at Barnsley as well. I'm trying to find where they are, actually. Can't see them. Yeah, they're at home to Cheltenham Town. Pompey, of course, taking on Peterborough United. So all of the top four tomorrow afternoon in action against each other. And Barnsley taking off Cheltenham Town in the relegation zone. So whatever happens at London Road this weekend between Pompey and Peterborough, we know that at Pride Park between Derby County and Bolton, at least one of those teams will have to drop points. They can't both win. I think maybe a point apiece would be the best result if you're a Pompey fan. Right, Sam, thank you. Do hold tight. We'll be back with you in just a few moments' time. But it is now time for a pre-match interview ahead of tomorrow's trip up to Peterborough. John Massino has been looking forward to this one with Henry Deacon.
Peterborough United, big game. But these are the games that, as a coach and as a player, you want to be involved in. There's excitement, obviously, from us in the media and from fans as well. But I suppose from your perspective, is it almost calm the expectations from the players just to kind of simplify it to just another game?
I think the players do that really well themselves. There's no players getting sort of carried away or too excited about the nature of the game. They know that Peterborough are a good side. They know that it's going to be a difficult afternoon, but we haven't gone away anywhere and had an easy afternoon. We've, even through this run of games, we've had Fleetwood, Port Vale, Carlisle, all sides down the bottom. We found it really tough on the day. So we know we're going to get that, and Peterborough's no exception. Maybe play slightly differently, and they're obviously up there in terms of league position. But for us, we just have to make sure we approach it with being as professional as possible.
What would be your overall assessment of Peterborough as a side?
I think they're an excellent side. They have been really consistent throughout the season in terms of the way they've played, in terms of playing really good football, probably one of the best passing sides in the league. Really, really well coached, and they've got some excellent players. So I think my assessment is very, very positive in terms of what Peterborough bring. And, you know, we've seen sort of Darren Ferguson's sides over the years being highly successful and playing really good football, so I expect more of the same.
When you look at some of the games ahead, we talk about cup finals when it comes to this stage of the season. When you consider some of the fixtures, particularly the next two, does it feel that way in your mind?
No, not at all, because we've got 8 games left, and you know, if you lose a cup final, you've lost, you're out, that's it. For us, and if you win a cup final, then you know you've won, and that's not the case. We can win games. I spoke about this when we played Bolton, and I think everyone was billing it to be, you know, probably, you know, the biggest game of the season at that point, which it was. And my point at the time was, you know, if we hadn't have won it, it wasn't the end of the world. And if we win it, we haven't done anything. And that's proved to be the case. We're still really tight with Bolton at this stage. And other results have gone on since that mean that, yeah, that game is just another game. So I think that's what we've got for the rest of the year.
And in terms of the injury front, any changes from the last time we spoke?
No changes from the side last night or the squad that we selected last night. That's everybody's come away injury free from that. Jack Sparks should be available for the weekend. I think with Callum Lang, he's probably a bit more of a doubt, but we'll see how he settles down over the next couple of days.
There you go. You heard it from the man himself. John Massino speaking to Henry Deacon a couple of days ago in preparation for tomorrow's trip to Peterborough United. Jack Sparks and Callum Lang, as we mentioned at the top of the show, missed out on Tuesday night's win over Burton Albion. Jack Sparks had a cut on his leg. He was not risked. As John Massino said, they're hoping to see him back for tomorrow's trip to Peterborough. Callum Lang, a bit more of a doubt. Maybe we won't see him this weekend, and we definitely won't see him next weekend because Pompey aren't in action. As we mentioned earlier, their visit at Fratton Park has been rescheduled to Tuesday the 16th of April. That will now be just 3 days after Pompey go to Bolton Wanderers, of which, by the way, the away ticket information has been released by Pompey today. The Blues have been given an initial allocation of 2,600 seats at the Tough Sheet Community Stadium up in Horwich, both in the upper and lower tiers, apparently. So hopefully, if we can sell out those 2,600, you never know, Bolton might be a bit generous and give us a few more. Do head over to Pompey's social media platforms and their website for more information on those tickets and when they go on sale. Speaking of Pompey fans, Sam, just under 4,000 Blues fans travelling up to London Road tomorrow. It's not the longest trip in the world. It's also not just down the road. 3,900 approximately turning up to London Road, both behind the goal and to the side of the stand as well. How crucial are they going to be to try and get the Blues over the line?
Oh, big time. If you look at some of the away days we've had over the last couple of years, I think this will probably be as lively as they get. The ones which always sort of stick in my mind is that sort of when we took, 7,000 to Milton Keynes Dons, yeah, or whatever it was.
Almost.
That was one hell of a day. There's been loads, but I really do think that the fans are going to be key for the rest of the season. I think Fratton Park has possibly been the best it's been for a good, like, 3-4 years at least. And I say, it's almost like, it's cliched when we talk about the Pompey fans, but they almost suck that ball into the net when we need a goal. So hopefully we can do that. And I say, even with the sort of the roadworks and the restrictions on the M25, I'm sure everyone's still going to find their way there. And it's going to be a really good day. And I say, we've had some up and down sort of trips at London Road. I think I remember the one with Ollie Hawkins and Jamal Lowe.
Yeah.
That's sort of the one which sticks in my mind. If we could have another repeat of that, the atmosphere would be bouncing and almost 4,000 or whatever Pompey fans it's going to be are going to leave happy. So yeah, fingers crossed. We deserve it for the amount of sort of the amount of years we've had in League One. So getting these last few away days, the Bolton game and the Peterborough game, I think they're going to be incredible atmospheres and safe trips to everyone going up there.
Absolutely. So echo those thoughts from Sam there. And just a reminder, as Sam's alluded to, the M25 shut between junctions 10 and 11 from this evening. So if you're heading up to Peterborough via car and you didn't know that, well, you might need to adjust your route to the London Road Stadium. Do check before you travel. Right, score prediction time then very quickly. Jamie on X is going for a nervy 2-1 win. Shane also on X going for a 1-1, whereas on Facebook, Lee is predicting a 3-2 Pompey victory. I reckon a close affair, but I'm going to go for a 1-0 Blues win. Sam, what do you reckon? Pompey at Peterborough tomorrow?
I was just thinking the same thing as you, to be fair, Jake. I'll go 1-0, sort of big game, big players, Paddy Lane to score.
Paddy, I'll take that. Right, well, that is it from us here on the Football Hour, but the next helping of Pompey Live is not too far away. And what a weekend we have in prospect. Two big games in the battle for automatic promotion coming up in just the next 24 hours. Bolton take on Derby, but our focus here on Express FM will be on the action at London Road, where John Massino's Tabletoppers take on an in-form Peterborough United.
Here we go.
Pompey live.
It was back to winning ways for Portsmouth men in midweek.
Goal for Yenge! He couldn't miss that one. Kamara, Moxon, and a tap-in for Yenge.
With the women having a week off, the men are on their travels away at promotion contenders Peterborough United. Join us for all of the unmissable action Saturday afternoon from 2.
Every kick, every goal, every game is right here on Express FM, Pompey Live.
With Aquacars.
Yeah, do join us for that one. Every match, of course, big from here on in, but as we look ahead to the final eight of the season, but tomorrow really is shaping up to be huge. 2 o'clock, we'll be on air for full coverage of the Blues trip up to the Posh. As Robbie just mentioned there, the Pompey women not in action this weekend, but they are next weekend when the men aren't. They take on Rugby Borough, Fratton Park, next Sunday for a 2 o'clock kickoff. We'll talk more about that on next Friday's instalment of the Football Hour. I'll be back with the Football Hour on Monday night from usual time of 6 p.m. with two more Pompey voices to go through what happens tomorrow afternoon at London Road. And a big thank you finally this evening to Sam Macy for joining us on the show. Sam, a pleasure as always.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And if you've missed any of the show this evening or you just want to listen back, do head over to our social media channels in the next 10-15 minutes or so to find out how you can listen back. So just 8 games to go until the end of the regular season in League One. Pompey go to a strong Peterborough United outfit tomorrow afternoon, a side who have won each in the last 6 in all competitions. But hey, all good things must come to an end, right? See you tomorrow, Pompey fans. Steve Randall up next.